Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself. Amen. 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 Please do be seated. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the apostles. And I spoke about the symbols of the Holy Spirit: water, wind, the dove, fire. And I also pointed out that these are all on my red stole that I wore last week, especially for that service. The dove, the water, the fire, the energy and movement of the wind. I've read that there are over 100 different titles, names, or descriptive terms in the Bible for the Holy Spirit. I think that shows how hard it is to pinpoint exactly what the Holy Spirit is. And today we're looking at the Trinity, God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I do not think explanations get any easier when we look at God in three persons, probably three times harder. Well, even more. I remember as a young teenager in my confirmation classes, my vicar using the image of a triangle to try and describe the Trinity, an equilateral triangle. And I remember him stressing this to us very strongly, that no side is any bigger or longer than the other. No angle bigger or different to the other. There's no top or bottom, really. It can move around. And the image stuck with me. But it is a very flat image of something so beautiful and wonderful and awesome as the Trinity. Although I do know geometric designs can be pretty awesome too. And there have been many symbols and items that have been typically used over the ages to depict the Trinity. I will say that there's quite a lot of them have become heretical and heresy for having spoken about them. That's false teachings or beliefs which go against Christian doctrine or belief. So if I describe any here today, don't forget I'm being recorded, I'm only doing it for the examples for us to hear. I'm not being heretical, honestly. But I have in here, in my basket, a few items which have been typically and are still typically used. Take one parcel there. There's only five, so just take one parcel and I'll try and say what it's about. Oh, you've chosen a very good one, the first one. Hold that up then so people can see it. It's of the Celtic knot. This is one I will say that is not heretical. It is still thought very strongly as being true to the Trinity. It does have three interwoven pieces there. The thing that is very key with that is that the line which draws the Celtic knot is one single thread. It's one single line that draws it. So when you draw the Celtic knot, it's that one single thing. Let me read what I've got written down, that I read about it. Here we go, the Celtic knot. It's an ancient symbol formed by three continuous interwoven loops. There is no beginning or ending. It represents eternity, interconnectedness, and spiritual continuity. Oh, great example of the Trinity. What else have we got there then? Oh, that's a bottle of water. Bottle of water. Thank you. I'll do this all first. Bottle of water. So water has been used as a symbol of the Trinity because water can be ice, it can be flowing water, and it can be gas. You know, when it evaporates. And so that had been used as a Trinity so that the ice was God, the Father, that The liquid was Jesus, the Son, and the gas was the condensation of the Holy Spirit. Well, heretical. Because they're all three different parts of God. That's God in three, so it can't be, they're not just one water. It's God as ice, it's God as whatever it was. Was it the flowing water as the gas? So that one would be big. People are trying. They're trying. What else? What have we got? Oh, you know that. You know that. Start to smell by the time we get to talk about it. So the egg has been thought of as being something that has three bits to it. And that's the thing, three bits to it. The shell, the yolk, and the white. And I don't know which bits are supposed to be which, but that again is a heretical thing. It's got three parts, but they're all separate parts. The egg is not an egg when it's just the yolk. It's not an egg when it's just the white. It's not an egg when it's just the shell. So there you go. What else we got? So we've got the shamrock. Now this one I've read was, according to legend, St. Patrick used the three-leaf clover or shamrock to explain the Holy Trinity to the pagan Irish in the 5th century. It was something which they were aware of, it was something around them, the shamrock. And he demonstrated that as the shamrock has three distinctive leaves growing from a single stem, Christian God is three co-equal persons in one. A little bit dodgy, I think, that one, but I can see it is true to the Trinity, isn't it? So that is still a recognized symbol of the Trinity. Three in one. They can't be broken up and be separate. We've got one more? Mars bar. Can you remember that catchphrase we used to have for Mars bars all those years ago? Work, rest and play, yes. I think that was brought into the analogy when they were talking about the Mars bar as the Trinity, about what different parts of work, rest and play would be linked to God, Father, God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. But heresy, isn't it? They said that God was the foundation, the nougat, you know, the tough bit, the foundational base, that the caramel, the sun, was the sweet layer that binds the structure together, and the chocolate, the Holy Spirit, covers it all up and keeps everything whole. It's a great sort of analogy, isn't it? But it's not actually true to what the Trinity is. Because if you take away the chocolate, it's not a Mars bar. If you take away the nougat, it's not a Mars bar. If you take away the other bit that's in it, I can't remember, the caramel, not a Mars bar. But I will enjoy eating it later. So there's those sorts of, you know, things which we have had to try to really help us to think about what the Trinity is. And icons have been used as well. On the front of our order of service, we have a beautiful painting. I think it's by Rublev. You know, there's been so much which has been done to try and show us the Trinity. I think I preached on that a few years ago, a beautiful painting. But the thing is, we're all trying really hard to understand this very difficult, complex thing. How can we possibly understand God? Turning to our Bible readings today, in our Gospel reading, we read the account of the disciples meeting with the risen Christ before he ascends to heaven, before he leaves this earthly realm and from walking amongst us as that human being. And Jesus had talked many times about God the Father, his Father, our Father. And Jesus had spoken many times that now the disciples were going to have the Holy Spirit sent to them, and that the Holy Spirit is this third person of God, how that third person will come to help them. And it says in the reading, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. They were still finding it hard to believe and to understand. I don't think it was in Jesus that they doubted. They had seen and heard so much from him. They must have known it was true that Jesus is the Messiah. It says they worshipped him, they loved him. And they held Jesus in great high esteem. They followed him. They believed and trusted in him, but they doubted. Possibly in themselves, their abilities, their strength and understanding, they questioned themselves and everything around them. But it says, what does it say Jesus says? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, to Jesus. And Jesus says, you don't have to believe in yourself. Believe in me. Believe in Jesus. I have the right, the power, the knowledge, the expertise to know what to say to you, what can be asked of you, and I will help you. We will all help you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus continues, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus points out quite clearly to the disciples, all they need to do is go out, share the good news, and baptize folk. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And note that it says, not in the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but one God, one name, three persons. And Jesus says they are to encourage, to teach how to follow the way of Christ, of their faith, of our faith, and to remember that Jesus is with them always, until the end of the age. So that's great. Really well done to those disciples. I'm amazed at what they've done, that we are here still 2,000 years later, worshipping and knowing about Jesus. Those early Christians who doubted, who were afraid. But we heard last week that the third person mentioned of the Trinity, the third person, the Holy Spirit, came to the disciples. We heard they came last week as flames of fire above their heads, as they were in a locked room. I mean, how crazy is that? And they were filled with the power that was needed to help them. And from then on, baptism became not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit too. And all of us who are baptized here today have been baptized not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. It rests in us. It is around us. It is in our whole body and being. And so all of us are called to this great commission to spread the good news. Maybe not to all go out and baptize. I think I might be called to do that. It's part of my role, my job here, but to spread the good news. Our sharing of the gospel of Christ, whether it's through words or deeds, it is with this great power and authority of God, the Trinity. The Trinity that we struggle so hard to comprehend, God in three persons, this great mystery. So my final words on this is that in my Bible, the reading we had from Isaiah, the first reading we had, is headed, God's people are comforted. So right beginning, right back there in the Bible, God was comforting his people, sending these words through the prophets. And I'll remind you of some of the words. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. We need that, don't we, today in the world? He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall not run and will not be weary. They shall run, and will not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We've been promised God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they'll be with us until the end of time. I think we need that good news. Everyone needs that. So however we come to understand the Trinity, if we can, I think we need to take that message with us as we go out this day. Think on the Trinity. God, that is way beyond our understanding. This mystery that helps us to open our daily lives to the mystery of the heavenly realm, the spirit world that is all around us. Remember in our prayer that God is always near, never far away.